Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage in this last month of WERU's 20th anniversary year. During this last month, we're digging into old editions from the Electronic Cottage vault that seem to us to be just as relevant today as they were when they were first broadcast. And on this last broadcast, on this last day of WERU's 20th anniversary year, we hope you'll forgive us for waxing a bit philosophical in this edition, first broadcast back in August of 2007. Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Apologies in advance to anyone who's not familiar with the Harry Potter stories, since we'll be using some of the terminology dreamed up by J.K. Rowling in today's somewhat philosophical program. The great science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke, like several others including Isaac Asimov, articulated a few laws during the course of his long writing career, one of which is, quote, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic," end quote. That's a shrewd observation, and one that's very germane for our times, when about half the bills in Congress have something to do with science or technology. Yet most of us either don't know what our lawmakers are considering, or don't understand what the proposed laws would mean to us day to day. And this apparently often includes at least some of the lawmakers themselves. In the Harry Potter stories, the world is divided into those with magic powers, the wizards and witches, and those without, the muggles, who are essentially regular human beings going about their day-to-day business without any awareness of what's going on in the magic world around them. When some aspect of the wizarding world leaks over into the muggle world, the muggles are astounded, and even though events in the magic world may affect their lives profoundly, they usually shrug their shoulders and chalk those events up to some mystifying chance or other, and then go on about their business. In a way, that's not unlike our ancestors attributing thunder and lightning to the god Thor, riding across the sky hurling thunderbolts from his magic hammer, or attributing snow to angels having pillow fights. In those cases, there's nothing we can do about climatic conditions like thunder or snow, so we might as well have a story that we consider reasonable to account for them. The situation is a bit different today, when science and technology affect nearly every aspect of our daily lives, and will be even more powerful forces in the future. Yet most of us are more or less like muggles, trying to go about our daily business, not realizing what an incredibly large impact science and technology, the realm of today's wizards, is having on how we live our lives, and even more powerfully, on how our children will be able to live theirs. But there is one big difference between us and the muggles of Harry Potter's world. In the Harry Potter world, you're either born with the potential for magic, or you're not. In our world, we can understand the magic of technology if we choose to do so. But for the most part, we don't. About 4% of high school students, for example, are now taking a physics course in the U.S. during their 4 years of high school. Our high school students' achievements in math are so poor that our Department of Education recently decided we would no longer participate in international tests of math achievement. Today's students are the people who'll be in Congress and legislatures and who'll be running our biggest companies in a few years. And it doesn't seem like they'll be very well equipped to decide which technologies are a good idea and which are not. In fact, those decisions may largely be made elsewhere tomorrow anyway. Over 50% of the doctoral degrees awarded by U.S. universities in science and technology are awarded to people who are not from the U.S., most of whom then go home to work, and who will be creating the technological world of tomorrow. And you may have heard recently of the Miss Teen USA Beauty Queen contestant who, when asked why she thought that one-fifth of Americans can't find the United States on a map, replied, quote, "I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps," end quote. This was a young person with a 3.5 grade average in high school. We, in short, often seem to act like muggles when it comes to technology. Meanwhile, contractors and congresspeople are asking us to spend billions upon billions of our tax dollars on items that require at least a modicum of knowledge about physics to decide on whether those expenditures are good or bad for us and our children. And, of course, we don't need maps anymore because our cell phones know where we are all the time. But how do they know? And who else knows? And what does that mean for how we go about our business as autonomous human beings? If we had a dollar for every person who said, "Well, I just turn my cell phone off if I don't want my location known," this radio station would have no more fundraising challenges, because, of course, turning off your cell phone does not keep the phone from knowing where you are. You'd have to pull the battery out to do that. In short, the way we and our children will live our lives are being redesigned without, in many cases, our muggle understanding or agreement. If we think that the technologies we're aware of today are sufficiently advanced to be considered magic, we have no idea of the magic that will form our lives in the coming years. Robots that patrol borders and have the ability and authority to fire upon those moving within their range of sight? Is this some sci-fi vision of the year 2050? Nope. Such robots are already operational in South Korea, and obviously not obeying Isaac Asimov's first law of robots, that they may not harm humans. Machines that read our moods as we walk through doorways? Under development by our government right now, under the slightly ominous title of Project Hostile Intent. Cars that will not allow us to open them up unless certain specific conditions are met. Cars that will monitor how we drive and stop if we, for example, exceed the speed limit. Or will at least keep a record that we did exceed the speed limit that will be available to insurance companies and the police. You'll be seeing both in showrooms soon. The list could go on, and it will. The question is whether what new technologies are developed and how they're developed and used will be solely the decisions of wizards outside of our knowledge and control, or whether we muggles will decide to spend, say, an hour a week learning about the technologies that will surround us next month and next year so we can actively participate in discussions about whether they're a good idea or not. Not from the perspective of governments or profit-driven businesses, but from the perspective of us and our children and their children. In Harry Potter's world, muggles don't have a choice of whether they're muggles or not. In our world, we do have a choice about whether we want to control our technological destinies. To do so, we need to know what's going on in labs and on assembly lines, understand what the deployment of specific technologies will mean for our lives and our children's lives, and then speak up about what we know and care about. Otherwise, we're just muggles, and our lives are not our own. We like to think that listening to this program may contribute to at least a modest beginning in taking control of our technological future, but it's surely not enough in itself. For those who wish to help chart their own technological destiny, there are many good sources of information available in local libraries and on the internet, and we'll take a look at some of them on future, markedly less philosophical, editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.